Hello, mad or bad listeners. We just wanted to take some time to say a massive thank you to Podcorn, who is our sponsor for this episode. Podcorn is the easiest way for brands and podcasters to connect. It simplifies every aspect of podcast sponsorships. We have had such an easy and straightforward experience with them so far. You literally just simply sign up, view a dashboard of amazing advertising opportunities, and then you can write and submit a pitch and wait for the reply from a brand that you love. It's that easy to start monetizing your own podcast with sponsorships that work for your podcast. It's totally in your control and gives you full creative freedom and transparency. It's also suitable for podcasts of all shapes and sizes, which we think is amazing because obviously we're only starting off. So join Podcorn today. Just visit podcorn.com. That is Podcorn, P-O-D-C-O-R-N. Warning, the following podcast may contain descriptions that some listeners may find distressing. Listener discretion is advised. Any views are all our own and do not in any way reflect the places where we work. Hello and welcome to Mini Mad or Bad. My name is Rachel.
And I'm Neil.
And today we are discussing the bystander phenomenon. On the early morning of 30th of March 1964, a young woman by the name of Kitty Genovese was stabbed repeatedly outside her apartment in Kew Gardens, New York. She parked her car a number of feet from her apartment when all of a sudden, a man named Winston Mosley chased her down. He proceeded to stab her twice in the back. Due to her excruciating pain, Kitty screamed for help and a neighbour responded, shouting at the criminal, quote, "Let that girl alone." Immediately after getting the attention of the criminal, Winston fled the scene and left the girl crawling towards her apartment. Multiple onlookers stood by, frozen by what they had just encountered and not willing or not able to intervene for what at that time was an unknown reason.
This case soon became the perfect example of the how and why human beings can, in the face of danger, simply turn the other way. It has been used in psychology textbooks around the world to demonstrate and explain this psychological phenomenon, which has now been named the bystander effect. Another example of the bystander effect would be the famous and heinous case of James Bulger, who at the age of 2 years old met his death at the hands of two children, Robert Thompson and John Venables, in 1993.
It's an awful case, isn't it?
Yeah, and anyone of a certain age living in the UK, you know, they're going to remember this. And it's been covered a lot in podcasts, and we've said, haven't we, that we wouldn't even want to go there, would we? To
look, no,
it's so upsetting.
I don't think I can deal with
no,
going
me neither.
There, to be honest.
No.
It's only a little baby.
Yeah, it's awful. When police reviewed CCTV and video evidence, no more than 38 people had looked on whilst two children left with this child from a shopping centre and proceeded to allow for his death later that day. I mean,
we were talking about this, and yeah. I think it's one thing when they were in the shopping centre. I get that.
Yeah, because they might think it was his younger brother. James was, you know, younger brother or something like that.
But it's the fact that, if you know the case, you know, they left the shopping centre together. So, like, two 10-year-olds and a 2-year-old. And it was more the fact that, you know, they were walking kind of just like down the street. They were like at a train station and people saw them.
Well, I don't think it was a train station. It was certainly
a train track.
So, yeah,
even
I mean,
worse.
Well, no, what I'm thinking is, because obviously a train station, there's a lot more people there, isn't there? I mean, a train track can be quite isolated, can't it, I guess.
It's just strange. But yeah.
Two social psychologists by the name of Beebe Latane and John Darley popularised the concept of the bystander effect following the initial case of Kitty that Rachel's just mentioned. Darley and Latane were the first psychologists to formulate and study the bystander effect.
Interestingly, the Kitty case, so originally it was reported that, like, I don't know, 40 people had apparently seen her and stood by and watched her being stabbed, but actually that's not true. That never happened, but it's still basically started this interest in the bystander effect.
Mm.
Yeah, even though, you know, there was reports of all these people actually bystanding, there actually wasn't, but it's still a thing,
basically. Yeah. So the bystander effect can be described as the presence of people, so, you know, bystanders, influencing an individual's likelihood of helping a person in an emergency situation. Specifically, Darley and Latane believe that as the number of people who are present in an emergency situation increases, the less likely it is that any single one individual will help someone in need. Both psychologists formulated an experiment to test their theory.
In the experiment, an individual was placed alone in a room with a microphone. Each individual who was placed in the room alone was told one of three things. So number one, that there was another participant in another room alone. Number two, that there was a participant in another room with three other people. Or that number three, there was a participant in another room with five other people. So basically a person alone, a person with three people, and a person with five people. In real life, these other participants were actually just recorded voices. However, obviously the individual who was like the real participant
didn't know,
wasn't aware of that. No. Yeah. So at some point during the experiment, which was basically this individual having, well, listening to a discussion of these other individuals talking, one of the pretend people in the other room would start to make sounds indicative of an epileptic fit. So the outcome both psychologists were looking to measure was the time it took for the real individual to respond to the emergency based on how many other people they thought were bystanders in the room. So, you know, if there was the person on their own, would they respond quicker? Or if it was the person who had five people in the room, would they leave it a little bit, kind of expecting those other people to
respond? I mean, it's important, I think, at this stage to critique the experiment, isn't it?
I mean, this was back in the 60s.
No, I know.
These were the kind of experiments that they did.
No, I know that. But what I'm thinking is now, so they asked for volunteers for an experiment, psychological experiment. So whilst I'm not saying, you know, things happen, you know, like somebody could have an epileptic fit, someone could have a heart attack, you know, some of the sort of reasoning for the individual why they didn't act may well be that they're thinking, hang on a minute.
Yeah, there's a lot of variables.
They could be overthinking it, or
there's a lot of variables.
Am I meant to act? Am I not meant to act? Because presumably they weren't recruited into this experiment saying, would you want to do this experiment on the bystander effect?
No, obviously not.
Do you know what I mean? So they knew they could well have. It's just important to say that. I know it's 50
obvious,
plus years ago.
But yeah, it's just one of those like old-fashioned 60s experiments, isn't it?
But
like the Stanford Prison Experiment.
Yeah, yeah, that's very good.
There's a couple of great films on that.
It's a film, isn't it?
There's a good documentary and there's a good film. There's a couple of films kind of loosely based on it.
Which film did we watch? That was literally called that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a few anyway.
So yeah, so the results supported their argument that indeed the greater amount of bystanders, the less likely that a single individual will respond to that said emergency.
Hmm. Since its experiment, there have been several other experiments looking into the bystander effect, especially the importance of perceived anonymity as part of a group, Schwartz and Gottlieb and Valentine, 1980. Interestingly enough, research into the bystander effect has reached into the 21st century. John Quinoz, primetime show What Would You Do on ABC, test the bystander effect. Actors are used to act out, typically non-emergency, so that kind of may more be indicative of a real sort of time response, you know.
Thank you so much to Baldy for sponsoring us for this episode.
Attention, all listeners.
We need to speak to you about a really important subject. Your man's balls.
Testicles, knackers.
Whatever you want to call them. I'm currently 37 weeks pregnant, so it's fair to say I haven't seen any ball action in quite some time. However, I am aware that the big old Valentine's Day is coming up, and it also marks our first year anniversary. Neil, I do believe your balls have now officially crusted over.
How dare you! However, we are very excited to speak to you about a brand who wishes for all people with balls to get smelling and feeling yummy for V-Day. Ballsy are an amazing brand whose products are cruelty-free, paraben sulfate and synthetic dye-free and are made in the US of A, so you know it's good.
Neil, if you're lucky, I'll get you there. I'm nuts about you Valentine's Day gift set. You get a ball wash, a nut rub solid cologne, and a sack spray to spruce up your bits. And they come in 6 different scents. I'm kind of jealous there's nothing for my VV.
So visit ballwash.com today and give your ball some love. That's BALLWASH.com and happy Valentine's Day.
I'm nuts about you, Neil. For 20% off the I'm Nuts About You Valentine's Day gift set, use our code MAD20. Hello, mad or bad listeners. We just wanted to take some time to say a massive thank you to Podcorn, who is our sponsor for this episode. Podcorn is the easiest way for brands and podcasters to connect. It simplifies every aspect of podcast sponsorships. We have had such an easy and straightforward experience with them so far. You literally just simply sign up, view a dashboard of amazing advertising opportunities, and then you can write and submit a pitch and wait for the reply from a brand that you love. It's that easy to start monetizing your own podcast with sponsorships that work for your podcast. It's totally in your control and gives you full creative freedom and transparency. It's also suitable for podcasts of all shapes and sizes, which we think is amazing because obviously we're only starting off. So join Podcorn today. Just visit podcorn.com. That is Podcorn, P-O-D-C-O-R-N.
So actors are used to act out situations while the camera captures the reactions and actions of innocent bystanders. Topics include cheating on a millionaire test.
Well, that actually
What's a millionaire test?
Remember,
You mean the game show? Oh, right. It's not like a test to be a millionaire, then.
I don't know.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah.
That really did happen, though.
In the UK, yeah. An elderly person shoplifting, racism and homophobia. So basically, lots of mini social experiments to test the human race on how they would act in such situations. I mean, we said, didn't we, as well, yesterday when we were talking about this, that, you know, sometimes people may not act, even, you know, a lot of people, because they're, you know, they may not intervene if somebody, I don't know, let's just say maybe getting attacked by someone else, because they're worried about getting drawn into it. They're worried about getting attacked themselves.
I get that.
You know.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's just one of those things, isn't it? But I guess if you're within a crowd, that's more the bystander effect, is when you're with other people. And surely you would feel safer if there's other people there. But
yeah, I think so. I mean, we've seen it, sadly, in the sort of growing amount of terrorism. I mean, I'm just going back to London. You know, there's been people act there, hasn't they? Which kind of disputes the bystander effect there.
Yeah, some very brave people.
Very brave people. There was one chap, wasn't there? He was actually on his first day leave, on supervised day leave.
Yeah.
He was in jail for murder. And whilst I'm not, you know, advocating, you know, the nice chap he did murdering someone, but it was a very brave thing that he did to try and...
Yeah, definitely.
You know,
So from a criminal perspective, some countries have actually made it lawful or not lawful for bystanders to be responsible in emergency situations. So the Charter of Human Rights and Freedoms of Quebec states that, in quotes, every person must come to the aid of anyone whose life is in peril, either personally or calling for aid, unless it involves danger to himself or a third person, or he has another valid reason. So that's interesting.
I think it is. I mean, obviously, it's very much open. It's very objective and open. Subjective.
Yeah.
Open to interpretation, because what one person may see as...
a valid reason.
Yeah. My valid reason might be, well, I was late for something, so I couldn't stop and help.
Well, no, but it could also be,
I've got
you
a heart condition.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But something like that, which is fair enough, though.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you've got to applaud Quebec for, in my opinion, yeah.
So it's therefore a legal obligation to assist people in danger in Quebec, if it is safe to do so, which I think that's the important thing, though, is it has to be safe to do so. Likewise, the Brazilian Penal Code states that it is a crime not to rescue or not to call emergency services when appropriate. So the German Penal Code makes it a crime for a person to fail to render aid in cases of accidents or other common dangers, again, unless such person would thereby endanger themselves or it would be contrary to some other important obligation. So I don't know what someone's obligation is, but
yeah.
In the US, Good Samaritan laws have been implemented to protect bystanders who act in good faith. Many organizations are including bystander training as well. So, for example, in the United States Department of the Army, they are doing bystander training with respect to sexual assault. Some organizations routinely do bystander training with respect to safety issues, and others have been doing training with respect to diversity issues. So organizations such as the American universities are also using bystander research to improve attitudes in cases of rape, which is quite interesting. Mm. Examples include the Interact Sexual Assault Prevention Program and the Green Dot Program. Others have been quite critical of these laws for being punitive and criminalizing the problem they are meant to address, but I guess it just depends what way you look at it, really.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. Have you ever been involved in any kind of bystander situation?
There was one time I spoke about it on a previous episode. I can't really remember, but
I think it may have been
one of the first couple of episodes. How many episodes have we done now? About 9. It may have been episode 2 or 3. I can't remember. But there was a time in... it was an emergency situation. Someone had... Someone wasn't breathing, basically, in a town in Derby, near where we live. And when I kind of got to the scene, there were literally... The chap was on the floor.
Was there like loads of people around?
I reckon there was. I might be over exaggerating. You can tend to over exaggerate, can't you, when you look back? But
yeah.
Must have been, I'd say 10. Maybe.
What, and nobody did nobody call for an ambulance?
Nobody called for an ambulance. Because when I started to do CPR, I kind of said, you know, and has anyone rang for an ambulance? And everyone just kind of looked at me.
That's the bystander effect.
No.
That
absolutely,
is like a classic
yeah.
example of it, though. Everyone is expecting the other person to do something.
And then
no one does anything.
And then, as I said, I don't know, you know, to make it even worse, I think I said, didn't I? I'd been to the CDs at the time. And
they nicked your CDs.
Some fucker nicked my CDs as well in this bag that I'd just like put
Fuck
down.
Me.
That just shows though, doesn't it? Someone had... I don't know if you're negative about the human race, because
no,
there's a lot of lovely
shit,
people,
though.
but it was just a bad day, unlucky. And then when like the ambulance come, not that there's anything else to do for the people, you know, there's nothing anyone could do then. They just kind of, you know, they're just kind of like, oh, you know, just kind of gossiping, and which I know is human nature to a point, but yeah. So
yeah, but
that might be
a good
example of...
Definitely. I don't think I've ever been involved in anything, to be honest. So I can't really comment.
I mean, you'd like to think, wouldn't you? You know, if it was you or me or anyone, you know, that was in that situation, that somebody would come to your help. I mean, like we said earlier on in this episode, I can quite understand when, I don't know, like, say you're out in town in, you know, bars or whatever, having a, you know, on a whatever, Friday, Saturday night, and there's like a couple and... people within the couple are having, you know, some kind of domestic and it's at what point do you think, well, shall I intervene? Because people are worried then, aren't they, about getting
worried about getting hit myself,
yeah,
to be honest.
Yeah,
but if it was like a medical emergency,
well,
obviously because we're nurses, I'd feel like I'd have to do something. But yeah.
So we're...
It's quite interesting, really. So I hope you've enjoyed our very short and sweet...
First episode
mini episode.
Mad or Bad.
We just really wanted to, I don't know, just discuss some kind of psychological phenomena.
Yeah.
So we'll be continuing with those every second week in between our longer episodes.
Rather than, you know, a particular case. I mean, that's still going to be the main thing we're doing, isn't it, Rachel?
Yeah, and we will just, you know, with these little episodes, we'll always link them to kind of some true crime case as well, though, because that's really...
Yeah.
You know, that's the premise of what we do.
Well, that's
But yeah, we just like to just expand on the psychological part of what we are doing. So we will catch you guys next week for a longer episode. And thank you for listening.
Thank you very much. Goodbye.
See you later.
As always, catch us on facebook.com/madorbad. You can catch us on Twitter Our handle is at Mad or Bad the Pod. And also, we now have a Patreon account, so please go look us up. It is patreon.com/madorbad. You can access exclusive content. We have exclusive episodes only available to Patreon supporters. So, go find us.